Find a cheaper airfare online? Jetstar will beat it by 10% with their price beat guarantee. Conditions apply.
Okay, let's talk about the Forbes Rich List. Don't we love this when it comes out every single year?
Yep.
And I have to say that, you know, a couple of months ago we were talking about the Gina Rinehart family debacle where the family split and one daughter stayed with her and the other three took off and tried to take her to court.
Yeah.
Well, the one who stayed with her, good move, because she's number five on the list.
Oh, where are the others then?
Yeah,
where are the
nowhere.
Siblings? Oh, they're not there?
No, they're not there.
Hang on, normally they're there. Normally they're called the siblings, the Rinehart siblings, and they make an entrance.
Well, I've got up to number 30 on the list and they haven't made it. However, Bianca Rinehart is number five and she is worth $5 billion.
Is that her age? She's 40 years of age.
Yep,
is that her? And she's worth $5 billion. And her mum's worth what? 16 and a half.
Yeah. As she's 63, but she's 16.5.
When they do Gina Rinehart's wealth, like, are they counting the stuff in the ground that's sort of owned by all of us? Like, is that counted? Do you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't own the minerals in the ground. Do they count that?
She owns the lease on the land, though, so she would have the right to get the minerals out of the ground.
So she's first, Big Gina. She's first.
She's not so big now. You wait till you see her at Melbourne Cup. She'll impress you.
I can't wait.
Yeah, be careful. She'll be with Jeffrey Edelston, probably. Harry Triguoff, so second place, that Harry Blake, he owns Metricon and all. Meriton. Real estate second. Anthony Pratt, they make cardboard boxes, third. Mm-hmm. Shopping malls, Frank Lowy with Westfield is fourth.
Yeah, we're at $5.7 billion.
And then daughter of Gina is fifth. Andrew Forrest, you know, Twiggy, he's sixth.
$4.4 so another mining. Billion.
Then shopping malls, John Gandell, I don't know that name.
No.
He's only worth 4.1. Let's forget about him.
Billion.
Ben Packer, he's into casinos. We all know that. Lindsay Fox.
What have they got James Packer's wealth at?
3.7.
What did he start at?
So that's down from 4 where he started, but up from when I think he got as low as 2 point something.
How much did Dad give him, you reckon? 4.
I reckon he started with about 4. I think in that book, Who Wants to Be a Billionaire, I think that's what it said, but I might be wrong, but I believe that to be the
case. Right, so casinos, then Lindsay Fox, he drives a few trucks and stuff. He's number 9. Then Mike Cannon Brooks. I don't know what's a software.
So it's computers and stuff.
You never
that the technology stuff.
Guys, can we just quit this radio nonsense and start a software company?
Well, number 10 software as well.
Yeah, look, there you go. Here's my software company. It tells my shoes. That's what I'm looking at when they need new laces. There you go. It's a software company. I'll sell it to you two for $1 billion. Do you want it or not?
Yeah, no. But thanks. Thanks for considering us.
Can I throw someone up so it's all about billionaires. These days it's all about becoming a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw up Conor McGregor, the Irishman.
That's not a billionaire.
4 years ago he was living on the streets, you know, had $500.
Yeah.
He did an interview. They were talking about the richest people, sports stars in the world.
Hey.
And this is his ambition. Have a listen to Conor.
You know, I just dream of hitting that billy mark, if I'm being honest. I'm cruising towards the $1 billion mark, and that's... Right now is next for me is... in June to July of next year will be the next Forbes 100 list, the highest paid athletes list. Ronaldo was number one last year. I was number 24, I believe, with 24 million in revenue. Next year, if it stands as is, Floyd will be number one, I'll be number two, and Ronaldo will be number three. If I fight one or two more times, I will overtake him. So that's what I am looking to get, right? That's what my goal is right now.
Right.
Number one highest paid athlete for 2018.
Wow.
Sorry. Is that a bit sad?
It is a bit sad.
You reckon? In order to get $1 billion, you can either try and start building apartment blocks. You can somehow own minerals in the ground.
Yeah.
You can have software, or you can just let Floyd Mayweather punch you in the face.
I'll take the last same here, Robin.
I'll do it. Let's go, Floyd.
Hey, listen, you know I love my Channel 9 news. I love watching Lofty and Melissa Downs and then Wally comes on and then Gary, that's the gang, and all good. Sometimes Dobbo's on there from our drive show. Hey, but last night I was watching and I don't think sometimes, you know, when they throw, like you're doing the newsy thing and then you throw to your other companion like Gary doing the weather, sometimes they don't get enough backup. Like they try to be like
that's
radio
true.
People, a little bit sharp, a little bit sassy, and all the rest of it, but they just don't
they
pull it
the
off.
They've got the team mentality of.
Is it because it's all scripted,
back?
Ed? Is that why?
Like and they're also everyone's also. You got to remember that if you do something wrong on the news, like a news blooper, goes all around the world, and you can lose your job over it. You
got to
remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I reckon Lofty. Our kids went to preschool together, Lofty and I. We knew each other years ago. And I reckon he let go a fair old zinger last night that didn't get the support that we'd needed from the rest of the team. All right. So you just listen to this. Remember the story yesterday, the meter maids down the Gold Coast?
Yep,
and I showed you the photo. They're now getting the muscly meter hunks, whatever they're calling them.
Yep.
And Lofty thought he'd put a comical spin. This is just before the weather. Go take it away, Loft.
Now, blokes in Budgie Smugglers will join the ranks of Golden Spandex. There's only been one other meter man since the 60s, former AFL star Warwick Kappa. Where are the blokes going to keep the coins then?
Oh, I'm not even touching that one.
Yeah,
man
there.
Bag. Weather time, I think, Gary.
Get to the weather.
No one wanted to touch it. It would have been for me. Jamming them down their crack.
What would you have said?
Jamming them down their crack.
No, that's crass. I would have said in their coin purse, which is a euphemism, isn't it, Brendan? It
sure is. It's 7 past 6. And Robin, I'm Brisbane's Triple M.
Purse.
Oh, I'm not touching that.
No.
Man's
coin purse.
Get to the weather.
Triple M.
It's good. Welcome to Friday. It is Marto, Ed and Robin.
What do we talk first on, if we're doing a sports all in, do we talk Rugby League World Cup first?
What's the game we're all looking forward to this weekend?
Well, it's not Friday. I'm not even going to watch tonight.
Oh, you are so.
I am not. I'm going to be with my wife in a loving situation.
Somewhere. So your phone will be down. All that means is you'll be at a restaurant and your phone will be down on your lap
If you're going to show some love and have a sacrifice, because I can say to Kath, the Kangaroos are playing and I'd rather be here with you.
That's only because it's a crap game.
They're playing France, so don't waste your time. Spend time on your partner because you got tomorrow afternoon. Remember what I told you we have to watch?
What?
At about 4:15, the Samoa-Tonga game.
Yes.
The Samoans going at it. Do you know the Crown Prince of Tonga has been with them all week with the Tongan side? And he celebrated. He handed the jerseys out last week before they, who'd they give a hammering to last week?
Last week. Island? Someone.
He handed the jersey out, then partied with them.
Oh, good.
So Crown Prince of Tonga came over, and there's thousands. Wherever they're going, there's thousands of people everywhere.
Wonderful.
They've gone crazy because they think with Fifita and Tomalolo that they're going to win this World Cup.
Well, so they should. They're playing in Hamilton. That's at 4:30.
Hamilton.
And Christchurch has got a game at 2:00, and that's New Zealand versus Scotland.
I don't see you wasting your time.
Okay, and then 7:00 is England versus Lebanon.
Oh, wow. And you just did that off the top of your head, Robin Bailey.
She did not. Impressive. She was turning around looking at our living room.
Excuse me. I didn't do it off the top of my head. I don't retain that information. However, I have been colour coding this, so it's making it interesting for me.
We appreciate it.
Robin, all right, can I ask you a quiz question here?
Go on.
Who is Australia's most recent NBA superstar?
Oh, little guy. We had him in. He's lovely.
No.
Incorrect. No, I'll take it. Talking about.
Oh. No, that's who she means. You mean Patty Mills.
Patty Mills. He's really nice.
No, there's a new bloke. Let's go through them, Ed. You're better at this than I am anyway.
Where do we start?
We've got some top players in the NBA.
Right now we've got some decent players. Joe Ingles is good for Utah. Et cetera, et cetera. But who cares? It's all about one guy. His name is Ben Simmons. He's playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. He was the number one draft pick. He hurt his leg, so he hasn't played for a year. He's come back this year, and he looks to be about as good as it gets. My goodness.
The greatest basketball player in the history of
Australia really
has just started playing NBA. He's 6'9".
6'8", 6'9", and he is just everything. They can't get enough of him in the States.
And is he signed on for gazillions?
No, he's on a rookie contract, but he would have got a big signing bonus, but it's his next contract, Robin. It's the next one where he gets them.
Would we be talking, we always love to talk with figures,
he'll get a max.
His next contract will be 25 to 30 mil a year, won't it?
It's a super. He'll get a super max, which means he'll get up to around 200, probably a little bit less, $1 million American.
That's all you need to know from now on. Forget about Andrew Bogut. Forget about everything else. Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
And how many? What are they up to? We're up to about game 9 of the season, and every single game he scores about 20. Usually around 20 points, which is a good benchmark. But also, then his rebounds, like that's defending at the other end. He's up around 10 on rebounds, isn't he?
He's fantastic.
And then assists. He's also helping other people score, throwing little great passes. He's amazing.
And it goes to what Marto and I have been calling for a long time. He is the son of a, an American guy that played here in the '70s and eighties, I believe.
See, imagine,
an Australian woman.
Imagine if we captured all the sperm from Ronnie Radcliffe and all those other champions that came over here in the seventies, eighties.
You should be able to go into any sperm bank in Brisbane right now and say, Give me a full syringe of Leroy Loggins, please.
Someone else we really love, and I told him this on Saturday morning for the Weekend Today show.
Well, when you woke up together.
Yeah, well, he was on, I was on, I was down the line, he was in the studio. I'm talking about Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man. Hello, Ross.
Oh, morning to you. How's it travelling?
Yes, very good. But
it was a big weekend, wasn't it? It was massive.
Yeah, Ross hosted. He was the host.
He was running it.
You'd be good, Ross. You'd be excellent.
Just under the radar. You know what it's like.
You and Carl, Monday to Friday, hearing the stories. Hello.
Watch out. Where's that bank balance, by the way?
Exactly right. We want to talk about banking too, Ross, because there's this whole concept that we might be able to create a bidding war with our banks. How's that work?
Well, what it is that right now, you know how you've got like a credit record and all that sort of stuff, and so if all of a sudden you're late in paying your credit card, or if you're late in paying your gas bill or something like that, that there's a black mark on your credit record. Now, you can get access to that credit record and see whether it's good, bad or indifferent.
Oh, whoa. I don't know anything about this. I'm occasionally late. Where is that credit record? How do I find that?
Well, you can go to either VEDA, which is V-E-D-A, or you can go to Dun & Bradstreet, and you can actually go and get free access to your credit record and see whether you're good, bad or indifferent.
Oh, okay.
Now, based on that, in the past, what happens is that, you know, only black marks go onto that credit record. What doesn't go on it, you've heard of people who've got 8 or 9 credit cards, and they basically use one credit card to pay off the next, Well, the fact that that person's got 8 credit cards, the banks and lenders can't see that. And so if you turn up for another credit card, they can't actually see that you've got 8 credit cards, even though they ask you, have you got any other debt? Guess what? People lie on those applications. So what Scott Morrison is doing from next year is basically saying, righto, it's now compulsory that all lenders have to share this information so they can see when somebody's getting themselves into strife. But the other thing about this is, once people can get a true picture of how much debt you've got and whether you're managing it and all that sort of stuff, if you're a good credit risk and you're always paying on time, they'll say to you, listen, we know you're a pretty good credit risk, we're going to cut your interest rate. But if you're a bad credit risk, we might raise your interest rate as a result of that. So your credit score could end up giving you an ability to negotiate a better loan down the track.
It's fabulous.
So does that mean you can go into your bank and go, look, I'm great, what's the best you can do? And if they don't come up with what you like, you just say, well, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the fact is, you know you're a good credit risk and you know that people would take you on. Now, there's a very interesting thing. This was all sort of done on a voluntary basis. In other words, they all said, right, you can share this information from back in 2014, but the banks never shared the information with each other. And the reason why they didn't, how do banks make money? They make money by lending money, don't they? Yeah, so they didn't actually want to see this information from some people. And as a result, some people quite clearly got into their heads because the banks have got a legal obligation to be responsible lenders, to know when they lend you money that you can reasonably pay it back.
Well, listen, this is the Treasurer saying this, but how will it definitely, will the banks definitely follow?
Well, yeah, because it'll be law. He's going to say it's LAW law and you've got to do it and you don't have any choice. And so as a result of that, if you're a good credit risk, you know, turn up and say, listen, I'm a good credit risk and frankly, I think I need a cheaper loan.
Lovely. Hey, Ross Greenwood, give us the name of that website one more time where we can check.
So the two names are VEDA, V-E-D-A, and also the other one is Dun and Bradstreet. Now, either of those have got these free services on them and you can check your credit score.
All right, one word. I've got to have my one word answer question.
Yes.
Is it time for me to take all of my money and put it into Bitcoin?
No.
Yeah, that's what I like. See you, Ross Greenwood.
You're our favourite.
One person
seriously.
In this studio has recently invested in Bitcoins for everyone.
Doesn't matter about that.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Hey, listen, Robin and I were talking about this, Ed, because Robin's going down northern New South Wales after the show today. I'm going down the Gold Coast. And I just know, I asked Kath, my wife, I said, can you finish a little bit early, you know, from doing your supermarket stuff? And she said, yeah, I think so. And the reason is, and I think we've discussed this before between us, but haven't done it on radio, if you don't get, here's my theory. This is from my brother who was commuting every day up from the Gold Coast, every day. And he'd always say, mate, I've either got to go. He'd either come over to my place until 6:30 or 7 because then he'd go home. If he knew that he couldn't hit where the gateway hooks up to the M1, this is going back down the coast from Brisbane, he doesn't get to there by Chinese dentist, 2:30, you're stuffed. You're absolutely stuffed. So if he couldn't wrangle an appointment that got him to there, that, what do you call it, the 8 miles plains interchange, if you don't make it to there, you're gone. Now, I brought this up with Claire, our newsreader, and she goes down, where she go down? She drives down there in the afternoons as well, that way. She lives down that way. And she said, nah, that's not necessarily true. Because if you miss that 2:30, and I've missed it by 20 minutes, 10 to 3, the whole thing is stuffed.
No, but it's only stuffed because you've got school stuff.
Okay. You reckon?
Yes.
This is what Claire tried to say.
Yeah, then there's a window after the school run. Yeah. So at about 25 past 3.
No, this is nonsense.
Till about 4.
She called it a magic window opens up between 3:30 and 4. Would you have seen this happen on other?
Yes.
I can't find that. That's not possible because from 4 o'clock until 6, it's stuffed again.
Moggle Road, another one. So as soon as through Kenmore, it clears. From the school, all the school of Kenmore High and Chapel Hill, everyone heading out to Bellbowrie. So from sort of 3:45 till about 4:15, you're fine. Then the traffic starts for people commuting home.
So it's school traffic. So you are supporting this magic window opens up of traffic.
Yes, after the school run and before the afternoon commute.
Has anyone got a theory on this magic traffic? I want to talk about the M1. Is it possible? I thought it was 2:30 until 6. It was all clogged up at the gateway M1 where it meets there. Is there a magic window there? But is there magic windows elsewhere where traffic peak hour just stops for a little while and you can zip through?
Mm-hmm.
Magic window theory. You know where it's always choked up is on the gateway there at Deegan Nudgee going outbound in the afternoon from about 3 o'clock.
Southern Crossway meets the gateway.
How do you get through these nightmares? Are there any magic windows? Who we got?
Mark of Hamilton, tell us.
How you going? Well, it's actually Nunda now. So, mine's from Nunda through to on the Sandgate Road. So you're about right, Robin. Around that 3:45 to about 4:15 window is quite good.
Yeah. So you reckon it is school mothers have left the road and other people aren't going home between those times?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And even though, you know, you've got those times as well where you've got to slow down to 40, so that also helps as well. So, you know, that creates the congestion as well.
4 o'clock, that's over, isn't it?
It's over
4 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah. But people are still a bit weary of it and they're all still doing the 40s, even a little bit after 4 o'clock. But, that window's pretty good from where I am.
All right, so the magic window, 3:40 to 4:15 works on Sandgate Road, yeah?
Mel of Holland Park, hello.
Hi. Hello, how are you guys?
Good. You're a teacher. What can you tell us?
Yes. Well, I rule my life basically now by knowing when these magic windows are because I hate driving. And I drive between Brizzy and the Gold Coast every day and I can either be stuck in the car for an hour and a half to 2 hours or 50 minutes if I plan it. And in the mornings, I go, again, as I said, you know, the opposite way to most of the traffic.
You're going the joyous way.
Bad. Yeah. So if I leave before 7, I can be in the car for 50 minutes in the morning. That's fine. If I leave after 7, if I leave at 10 past 7, for example, I'm there an hour and a half in the car. But it's the same thing in the afternoons, as you said. The school run, people ask me, why are you still here at work, 5 o'clock? Well, if I leave at 5:15, I miss the Springwood, all of that sort of dilemma around that area, which is hopeless. It's terrible in the afternoons, and you get the tradies coming through, and everyone knocks off at 5. But if I leave and make my way through there, it's 50 minutes. If I leave work at 4:30, though, you know, I'll be sitting in it for an hour and a half, get home at the same time.
So you do all your homework at school and then go home.
I stay there purposely quite late to avoid it, and it's better sanity for me. It means I have a quick drive through because it's all about planning and thinking ahead because this M1 is just, it chokes up real quick.
All right, more magic windows. That's a beauty.
David of Logan, you got one?
Yes, good morning. I drive buses in Logan, and we're up and down the freeway every day, but this window from 8 Mile Plains right through up to the Hyperdome, I've never seen a window there. It's always solid traffic there all the time.
Okay.
Here's a question. How many lanes would it take, do you think, for it to not be like that?
Oh, it needs another 3 lanes easy on it. There's only 3 lanes there and now.
Yeah.
So
there you go, another three. Yeah.
Another three, I think, yep.
That's not going to happen anytime soon.
No. You can shut the magic window.
I remember I was at Wet n' Wild and they have, the 8-lane slippery slide.
Where you had the races.
Yeah, we had the races.
Yes,
and my friends and I worked out that if we got there as the water park opened...
And you were more than 98 kilograms.
Then we would continuously win the race and thus get to stay on.
Great.
So, yeah.
Well, that's really helpful.
A lady on the news last night who I've seen before, she always seems to stick up for people who are copping it. She hasn't tried to enter politics like our leader of Queensland. If anyone doesn't know Palaszczuk's story, her father was the member. It's like being an old-time wharfie. You just take over from your dad.
He was a minister, wasn't he, Ed? I think he was.
A minister in the government in the 90s, yeah. So he hangs them up and the daughter takes it over despite never having a job. What I want to talk about is your friend here.
Oh, Hedy
Johnson.
You can
introduce her. She always seems to be standing up for people who need help.
Okay, so I've known Hedy for a long, long time because she is a massive advocate for children. She has an organisation called Brave Hearts and they pretty much go in for anyone who has been involved with pedophiles. They're a victim support place and they're a wonderful organisation and she is the heart of it. Hello, Hedy.
Hey, Robin. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. Now, Mardo's impressed with you. He's seen you on the news and I think he wants you to become the next Prime Minister.
Oh, never going to happen.
Why are you bother running?
Oh, because I care about people. I think we need representatives in the parliament that actually can represent the people. I mean, our party politics, I think, is part of the problem of that with our democracy. When we vote for a party politician, I don't think it doesn't make any difference which one. At the end of the day, we're voting for a party, and those representatives have to answer to that party first. That's their real boss, and the party's real boss is maybe the union movement, or maybe it's a corporate somewhere, or the donors.
Yep.
So, you know, they don't consider us at all. I feel like we're totally, as a punter out here, a voter, I don't feel heard at all. I can understand why people are angry. I mean, the only time we're heard is at election time, and then it's a lot of nodding and winking, I think, and throwing stupid little $50 things around and dollar things around, hoping that we're silly enough to believe that's going to make any difference.
I'm such an opponent of our two-party scheme. I can't stand the Labor or the LNP. Now, but how can an independent possibly beat those big machines?
I don't know. It's very hard.
Have you spoken to Nick Xenophon? Because he has been very successful in making him and his, like, he is he's got a party now, but he is very much his own person. Yeah. Have you spoken to him about that?
Yes, I know Nick. I've met Nick numerous times, and Darren Hinch is a friend of mine.
Yeah, Darren is
I think so. Look, we're just all different. At the end of the day, I'm not going to try and be anything I'm not. I'm just who I am, and if I get elected on that, that's really wonderful. And if I don't, well, that'll do me. At least I know hand on heart, and I go to bed at night and sleep, that I've done the right thing. I know that I'm the best candidate for this job. I absolutely know that, and that might sound egotistical, but I have to be a bit,
be
honest about it and say, I mean, give me a break. We need someone who can stand up and thump the table. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to get, look at the M1. Look at the M1 bottleneck.
Oh, God.
That's 2 decades of absolute it's a political disgrace. We've watched them all come and go, and still it's there. Now, thankfully, the current government has said fabulous, you know. Look, we're going to fix half of it, and that's really great, but I'd like the other half fixed too, thanks very much. And then the other side are going to build a brand new road, and I don't mind, I guarantee you that's not going to be a nice, oh, here you come, that'll be a toll road. And I don't know about you guys, but I think toll roads are an absolute appalling thing to throw at you.
Well, you end up paying back basically a company. That's essentially how it works. The public pays back a company to build a road. That's essentially the deal. Yep.
Yeah, it's a private company building public infrastructure, and the paycheck and the pay for that goes on and on and on into infinity. It's never paid off. So, look, Hedy, there's just so many reasons.
Hedy, can I ask, your seat is McAllister. I've never heard of such a thing before. What is that?
Well, it's a brand new seat.
Yeah, where is it?
It's actually, it's Carbrook, Cornubia, Logan Home. On that side, down just underneath the Springwood and whatnot.
So southeast of Brizzy, righto.
Southeast, yep, Beenleigh, Mount Warren Park, all through there. It's a big, it's a very diverse area,
righto,
Marto. It's a very, very diverse area.
A lot of people
area.
From down that way would be listening. You are a voice of reason. If you want to get rid of all these stupid political parties, this is a start.
Yeah, and let's get other independents to do the same. You know, can you imagine if we had a whole bunch of really strong community
Smart
people in there. Wanting to actually make a difference, not for any other reason, to be there for the right reasons, to do the duty that we should expect from our politicians, and that is to represent us.
Hedy Johnson, if you need any more advice, Marto did once run in the state election. Okay, Marto, how many votes did you get in the state election?
I ran against Anna Bligh, and it was a bit of a joke. I got 412.
I think I've had a couple of those too. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay. I love you. I love the fact you're a pedophile hunter. Keep up your good work.
Thanks, Hedy.
Child protection advocate. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
The rusty solution, they're calling it. Now, Russell Crowe, he keeps his bides his own time and keeps his own counsel usually, and then he just pops his head up with a tweet that says, this is an effing disgrace. He's talking about Manus Island and rehousing all the refugees when they close that in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But further to it, like, it's fair enough for celebrities to say, this is hopeless, this is terrible. He's got a solution. He wants to take half a dozen of the refugees and plonk them in at Nana Glen, his property there at Coffs Harbour. How good is he?
Is he going to have auditions?
pick which
one.
Well,
how many? Because what happened, they've closed Manus Island. A number of the refugees there have said that they can't leave because they don't feel safe. But how many are we talking? Is there a lot?
He's saying, can't take 60.
There's 60, okay.
No, there's hundreds up there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's going, so I don't want 60, I only want 6. And he's going, if everyone did this, like if all of us pitched in and took half a dozen of them, we'd sort this problem out.
Okay, fair
Thanks,
enough.
Russ.
Now, if I was being cynical,
far be it from you.
Is he looking for cheap labour for his properties?
To work on the farm.
Or is he looking for...
Wife, a new wife, perhaps, or audition them bachelorette style.
Or is he looking for, perhaps, asylum seekers who are good with musical instruments to play backup in his band?
Oh,
because
my God.
How about some of this?
Okay.
Well, they'd be better than him.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm saying, Robin. You. If you...
That's Spud Carroll on drums there, I think.
No, thanks, Russ. We'll stay here.
That's what I'm saying. Do they know what they're getting themselves into? Like, imagine they all get there, like, this is amazing. We have to live in Australia with
freedom.
With a movie star, and then Russ says, all right, guys, take a seat, and gets out the guitar. They'll be running up the door.
Take me back to Manus.
So anything. Not another one. Anything but this.
Marto and Robin on Triple M.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place, but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed, and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Here's the problem, right? My eldest son is finishing school, so that all the Year 12 kids are starting to kick off.
Right.
Uni is now on holidays, and I have a very industrial 15-year-old who has decided...
Industrious.
That one.
Yep.
Who has decided that in April next year he turns 16 and he'd really like a really cool car to get his L's on.
Yeah,
and
fair.
And I've said, okay, mate, well, if you want to do that, you're going to have to start earning money for it. So he's thinking, right, Christmas holidays, got 8 weeks off, I need a job. But we have discovered in the last week that taking his resume round, he is competing with all these older, more experienced children. And I really want to help a very proactive 15-year-old, and I do know that there are others out there, but I don't know what to do. Like, he dropped 30 resumes off in the last 2 weeks. He's got nothing.
I'll give you one. Send him to Stanthorpe and pick fruit like I did.
What, just drop
They're
him?
Desperate. Why not?
What do you mean?
They all have places to stay. They desperately need people to pick fruit, and they're mainly using backpackers.
Really? Would they take a 15-year-old?
I would say so. If you ask a few farm people up there at Stanthorpe, I might know a few people.
Okay.
Hard work.
No, well, he's not afraid of hard work. Well, he just wants a
better
job.
Because otherwise he's walking around all the shopping centres just dropping off
resumes.
That's
what we're doing. That is exactly what we're doing. This afternoon we are going to DFO at Jindalee. We're also going to go to Mount Ominy. And he's just
dejected
desperate.
And beaten by all that.
Yeah, I know, but he wants a job and I want to support that. But it's tough. And I'm just curious, how did you do it?
Send him to Stanthorpe. He's away from you.
Well, he'd probably love that.
Wouldn't he? I don't know. How do people get their first job?
Well, what did Harry do?
Harry just started building this year for a mate. I got him working for a mate and then he moved.
You don't know people.
No, then he moved on. He found his own one straight after that. So he sort of, I think you get into it, you get on a bit of a work roll, don't you?
Okay, if your kid has got a job early, how did you do it? What did they do? See, I'd love to know. I'd be very helpful for lots of kids.
Ed only knows people with video stores. That's the problem. Well, he started his career.
That's true, mate. That is very true.
Annette of Forest Lake, any suggestions?
Well, I went and did the sales pitch for my boy. He's 16 and was desperate like yours to find a job. Okay. So because I've lived in Forest Lake for 20 years, I know lots of people. So I just went to bat for him and then they went, he sounds like a good kid, bring him up. And it made him stand out because obviously I'm biased, but, you know, it was like, how can I get him to stand out from all the other kids?
Yeah. Oh, see, that in the initial telling, in my head, I'm thinking that goes against everything that I think about that because I wanted him to be the one to push himself forward. Yeah. But I understand you need the advantage.
Yeah, I hear you, Robin. I was the same. For months and months he went out, dropping his resume after school, coming home, putting on his glad rags, going off to the shop. And he wasn't getting anywhere.
What were his?
I'd love to know what were his version of glad rags?
Oh, you know, a nice pair of shorts and a button-up shirt.
He's cute. Good on him. And he's got a gig. That's cute.
So what's he doing now, Annette?
He works for the local fish and chip shop and he's one of their most valued employees. Ooh, and he's
Chief Fryer.
Well, he's moved up from just doing breakfast to now working Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night.
Hey, listen, Annette, are we in the main shops there at Forest Lake?
It's called Two Fish, just outside the main shop, right next door to Milton Dick's office.
He'll get a promotion from that.
Well done, Annette.
You know, you said standing out in terms of resumes. I got a mate who now works for an advertising agency. When he was young, he got his resume and formed it somehow into a pyramid. So therefore, you couldn't put anything. It had to be the top resume. You couldn't place anything else on top. And
that's
to this
clever.
Day, he's a brilliant man. He's running an advertising agency.
Okay, Megan of Morayfield. What do you reckon?
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Megan.
Have you ever thought about Pearl Lifeguard, Rob?
No, I haven't. He's a good swimmer too.
Where at?
Because any public pool needs pool lifeguards. All my three of my kids have done pool lifeguarding. The hourly rate pays way better than your normal run-of-the-mill Macca's.
Qualifications needed?
You just have to do a pool lifeguard course and first aid course, but that can carry you through to other jobs as well.
Are they boys or girls, your mob?
Both.
And how old can you start?
They've gone on now. One still does. He's gone from pool lifeguard to now pool reception, and he studies law at uni, so he does it when he can.
Well done.
That's
you
a good
well
idea.
Done.
That's a good
You've
idea.
Done well there.
Like
really
that.
Good one.
Yeah.
That's great.
I swim enough for you on the pool.
A lot of hours during the school holidays, and when it sort of dies off and school's back on and, you know, you're in the throes of study. You don't have as many hours, but you get your bulk of your money in the summertime.
Well,
that's good.
Ed's job ready because he does a lot of that down at South Beach, just keeps an eye on people.
I'm more of a volunteer, but I can tell you the midnight shift is available. I do get tired by the end of the day.
Siobhan. Hello, Siobhan.
Oh, hi. No, my top tip for getting a job that age, I'm a 19-year-old myself, so I've been through it.
Yeah.
But definitely you can't go for mainstream places because they hire for their Christmas casuals over the September holidays.
Right. Oh. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What's your tip?
So definitely not to go for like the mainstream places, so mainstream retail and shopping centres, just like the one-off cafes or the one-off.
Go obscure, go local. That's a very good idea.
Another good thing is that because like for me, I'm being 19 years old, they actually much prefer 15 to 17.
Cheaper.
Because they pay them less.
Yeah. Are you working? What's your job that you've got lined up?
I'm actually a brand ambassador currently. So that's for different companies, but yeah.
So 19.
What is a brand ambassador?
Are you big on shopping for people?
No. It means are you big on Instagram in some way?
No. But that as well. But I just go out and promote different brands.
Oh, you do promo work.
Yeah.
I used to do. Well, you've changed the name of it, but I used to do promo work. I once handed out, 1,000 up and goes in the city of Sydney. Tell you what, that got them regular. Tell you that much.
Hey, I promised you I'd give you a blow by blow each day how the election's going, and
yes.
We missed it yesterday because there was just a bit of a lull in the action. But they're back, and finally, Tim Nicholls, who's complaining, I haven't got any money, I can't fly anywhere. Mm. He finally got on a plane yesterday. Like the rest of us do, probably got one of those cheap fares to Proserpine and drove up to Townsville, but he got there. That's the important thing. And when he got there, well, they're asking the question all of us are asking.
Whenever I come up here, the people of Townsville say to me, Tim, when are you going to do something?
I may have cut the end of that off. When are you going to do something, Tim?
Good.
Like, when?
That's good.
All right. They were actually quite good. The young bloke who ran the article on Channel 9, Joel Dry.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Because Tim went up there and he said, he got in the police helicopter, he said, we're going to get you a poll air, we're going to knock all these kids who are under 16, we're going to cart them off and lock them up, and he was really big. And the Joel Dry said, it's like an episode of Law & Order LNP, and I nearly fell off my lounge.
Today has really been an episode of Law & Order LNP.
Oh, I didn't realise I had that. I shouldn't have done his joke.
Anyway.
Because, Tim, what were you doing up there, mate?
This is not new. This policy that Tim Nicholls has announced today is ill thought out and it's absolutely lazy.
Well, you get stuffed, Yvette Dath. It's not lazy.
Tell you what is lazy. Labor's attitude to crime in Townsville is lazy.
Yeah. Got that.
Yeah.
You go in.
Okay.
Oh, I've had enough of it.
Who are you going for?
Neither of them. I can't vote for anyone.
Still nil all.
Except... What?
Yeah.
Nil all today. Just a nil all draw. And that happens in soccer and politics sometimes.
Sure.
Because all of a sudden the Greens came bursting out of the sheds, and weren't they spectacular?
Well, they were spectacular for you because they're suggesting 4 new public holidays.
And $1 top on any train, ferry.
Well, I agree with
$1.
That.
That's
our public transport is ridiculously expensive.
But the 4 holidays, they're going, you hang on to all your public holidays and you get more. You know how much I love a bloody public holiday.
Well, hang on, when? When are these
Robin's
new ones?
Robin's got them in front of you.
International Women's Day, which is in March,
that's a good
March
one.
15th.
Very good.
NAIDOC Day, and I've just been trying to find out when that is. I think it's in June, July.
June,
anyway.
June sometime. Yeah, NAIDOC Day's a great thing. I'd love to embrace all the Indigenous activities. That's unreal.
I think they're talking State of Origin.
State of Origin Day.
Now, I could have made that up. Okay. And celebrate our national parks.
What's that one called? Park Day.
Park Day.
Yeah. What do I do on Park Day? What's my obligation from the Greens on Park Day?
Well, just go and hug a tree.
Yeah, man.
perhaps smoke something green.
I love Park Day. Nearly eight.
Look at the munchies.
Marto and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M. I'm always hungry on Park Day.
That is weird.
I always love it when something comes across my desk, like options for the weekend.
Okay, what have you got?
Throw this one at you. The Dog Lovers Show. It's on at the RNA Showgrounds and it's got stuff like, the Dog Lovers Show.
Chris Brown's at this. I've seen the ads for it.
Dr. Chris Brown.
Sorry.
Yeah. Bondi.
Spunk Chris Brown.
Yeah, don't they? You got to have him at a dog show, otherwise it's not a proper dog show.
It's very credible.
Frisbee and agility competition, military working dog tribute, dog adoption zone, free vet advice, face painting. Yeah, you get dog face on. Yeah,
yeah.
Can I look like a
you can do that without your phone and an emoji.
Is Mitchell Pearce doing anything?
Ooh, no.
He's looking for a new gig.
Human pet interactions? No. That might be the dog show up late. Now, here's the one I do want to, this is the main reason I want to talk about this. As one of the largest events in the world dedicated to dogs, this is the Dog Lovers Show. So if you're a dog lover, get on down there.
Yeah, fair enough.
We'll feature more than 500 pooches, including 18 Insta-famous dogs to get selfies with.
Claire Sherwood from our newsroom. Is your puppies going to be there? Because they are Insta-famous.
Well, I'm following up because I've obviously missed my invite. Or, sorry, the Blue Brothers have missed their invite. It has
the
not
Blue
arrived.
Brothers again?
That's a puppy.
Blue oh, good Brothers.
Lord. Now, listen, you are such a normal, wonderful person.
Thanks, Marto.
Now, this Insta-famous dogs. Now, what would happen here if these Insta-famous dogs, have they got followers? They've got their own Instagram accounts.
They do. They'll have their
how
own Instagram
accounts.
They'll
on,
hashtag. Well,
when do you become famous?
Some of these guys, like I know, for example, a little dachshund that has more than 40,000 followers. The owners have given up work to actually use this as Dear a moneymaker. I'm not quite at that level, guys, but
right,
I'm working
my way. Let's get the stats. So hang on. So how many followers do your dogs have right now?
So Blue Dot Brothers, guys, just putting it out there.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Is that how I get into it? Blue Dot
okay,
Brothers.
Blue
on Instagram,
Dot Brothers.
Claire?
Yep, Instagram. Okay. 2,330 followers. So that's
let's
how many people
see.
Like my dogs.
Let's see if Whoa. We can get any more by the end of this chat. So it's the Blue Dot Brothers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're at what?
2,330.
Righto, okay. Let's say I go to this because I do want to talk about other things. So if I go to your site, what do you got for me?
Oh,
like what joy do I get?
Probably dogs.
Look, you know, probably
just your
dog,
two dogs doing things.
My dog's dressed up for Halloween.
How cute are they? And they're little staffies too.
Yeah.
My dogs are out walking.
So they're staffies, out walking.
With their friends.
Never seen a dog do that before.
Yeah. At the dog park, socialising with other blue staffies.
Have you got ones of them doing private stuff like dropping steamers and stuff?
Look, I could get one up for you today, this afternoon, if you'd
wouldn't
like.
Wouldn't that rate?
I'll hashtag #formato on that one. Yeah.
But in all seriousness, though, there are people who have quit their jobs and now their job. There was that guy who has the really ugly dog. What's that? You know, the one with the tongue hanging out? He's an American who his is huge.
Coco Lux.
Is that Coco Lux? It's
yeah,
her dog. It's
one,
the ugliest
yes.
dog in the world.
Yes.
That one's got. He
a
tours
lot
the
of
world.
Pugs. There's Doug the Pug. Pugs. Have you ever heard of Doug
yes.
the Pug?
Doug the Pug, yes.
He's an Insta famous. Now, when they say at this show there's 18 Insta famous dogs you can get selfies with, is that your dog? You know,
no,
somehow
you,
with his
you.
Paw up there with the famous dog, or is that the human?
Well, you know humans. That you can get little additions to put on your smartphone, Marto, that actually get the best dog selfie. So they have a tennis ball attached to your phone,
Jesus.
And that's how you get your dog looking at the camera for your
my
selfie.
Oh, God.
I think that's also how you get Nick Kyrgios to look at a phone. So if you but Claire,
I've just
all
followed
right, we've
you,
had,
Claire. Yes,
we've
thanks,
had
Robin.
Oh, that's no one. Okay,
what
so
are you
we've
up
had
to now?
Three minutes of chat. So now the Blue Dot Brothers on Instagram, we've been chatting for 3 minutes.
We're at 2,402.
How many have we got?
How
gained?
Many was that? What's
so
that again?
So it was 2,230. So we're getting up there. We're almost 200. Oh, 2,410. It's going up by the Woo-hoo! Second, guys.
Oh, no, no,
thanks,
no.
listeners.
Who are these people? Listen, you shouldn't be listening to Triple
listeners.
M.
Your listeners.
No, we love them.
How do they do that?
Dashhound Planet's got 17,000.
Dashhound Planet.
2,420, guys. Just going up by the second.
Okay. You're like, this is like Bitcoin.
So it's time to interview Stevie J. He's got the new book out, The Cat with the Giant Story.
Okay, who's Stevie J?
Stevie J, if you haven't done your homework, let Ed and I handle it. But the thing is, he's won 3 premierships. He's won, God, how many best players? He's been all Australian
Norm
3
Smith.
Times. Norm
oh,
Smith medal.
AFL guy.
And well, the thing is, he's one of those AFL guys who's got some of the most classic stories off field. He's colourful character
he's
without
fun.
Ever being a bad, bad dude. And here he is. Stevie J, good morning and welcome to Brizzy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Stevie, do you remember when you and I spent a night together in a Uniqlo clothing store?
I do, Ed. What a great night that was.
Hang
what
on,
a great
what?
Night.
What are you
hold
talking
on,
about?
What happened? Stevie J and I did a night shooting with Matt Cooper from the NRL in a night for Uniqlo. And do you remember what you and Matt Cooper from the NRL bonded over, Stevie?
It was dumplings.
No, you two had both just eaten a block of chocolate out of the minibar at the hotel.
Oh, that's true. And that was after the dumplings.
Yeah, that was after the dumplings.
What's with the dumplings?
He loves his dumplings.
That's great. Now, were your off-field behaviour, did you just make it in under the statute of limitations? If you were any younger, you wouldn't have been allowed to get away with a lot of things, eh?
No, well, I never got sacked, so I guess... I was within the limitations, yeah, but I'd certainly push the boundaries from time to time. And, there's no doubt with the way the game has progressed over the last sort of 8 to 10 years that there's a much more strictness around behaviour, and I probably wouldn't have been lasted as long as I did, that's for sure.
So, Stevie, you were known... Now, we had this discussion one day because I called you a goal sneak and you didn't like that. You said, I'm not a goal sneak.
What else is he? Because so many times he'd be lying on his ass and he'd still put goals through.
Yeah, what did you describe yourself as, Stevie?
An opportunist.
Yeah, I'm an opportunist.
Oh, that's cool. Well, maybe you call me an opportunist. I said, no, I get... Yeah, I'm not too sure exactly what it was. Yeah, I like something maybe a little bit more than that.
Do you remember the day when Gary Ablett told you all he was going to go to the Gold Coast?
I think we had a fair idea that he was going to go because he had a contract in front of him for a long period of time at the Cats.
Right.
And being a close mate of his, you could tell he's a little bit sheepish about the topic when sort of prodded. So, yeah, I think at the time his teammates certainly seen why he made that reason. It was too good a financial deal to not take up.
One thing, obviously you end up playing at the GWS Giants and you did a great job there, almost made the grand final this year. But, Stevie, the Geelong Cats are known for their Mad Monday celebrations. They're known as the best costumes in the whole of the AFL. And we've just had Halloween where everyone does their own version of Mad Monday. If you had to go back through the archives... What was your favourite costumes that one of your teammates ever rocked up in?
They were pretty good at the boys, and I never sort of considered myself one of the best at the dressing up. I was more the life of the party. But
you're taking it off.
Gold snake.
I think Matthew Scarlett probably gets the 3 votes over the journey. I think one Mad Monday he turned up as Kevin Bartlett, and as we know, Kevin Bartlett's only got a little bit of hair around the lower bit of his head, so Scarlett went bald.
He got bald for that. My favourite was when Matthew Scarlett got wheeled into the pub as Hannibal Lecter. Remember
that's
that?
Right, with the mask on.
I just couldn't believe the amount of thought and preparation that must have gone into some of these costumes, because clearly, you're trying to win a premiership each year, and these blokes must be planning these things, months in advance.
Months in advance. Goodness. Hey, Steve, you're a character in a good way, and the game is poorer for the loss of people like you.
Is this book
you.
Any good, Stevie? We need to buy it.
It's not bad. Yeah, make sure you get it. It's worth getting a copy.
Righto, we'll do.
Righto,
we got one now. Can we give this one you gave us? Can we give it away?
Yeah, you can give it away. Yep.
He signed it too.
Ed, make sure you read it first, though, okay?
Oh, mate, I'll do the audiobook for you if you like. 1-333-53, Stevie J's book is called The Cat with a Great Big Story. It's been a pleasure. See you, Stevie.
Thanks very much, guys. See you later.